Welcome back to Nate and Crate on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Hawk Security Services. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Nate Griffin and Patrick Creighton.
All right, joining us on the hotline right now, covers the NHL for SB Nation. She's Taylor Baird. Hey, Taylor, how you doing?
Good. How are you guys doing today?
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. I would like to be doing as well as those people in Winnipeg, Manitoba, who for the very first time ever in any incarnation of the Winnipeg Jets have won a conference finals playoff game.
Yeah, it's a really great atmosphere up there, and that fan base has been suffering for a little while now. So it's nice to see, and the Winnipeg whiteout is just something to behold in hockey.
You know, that is a, you know, originally an old WHA team that came into the league, relocated to, you know, the desert, because that was a really stupid idea. But I was really happy to see them get a team again. I think that there's, you know, we can always get more Canadian hockey teams. That always works for me. But, you know, this is a Jets team. This team has so much firepower. And whereas, you know, the Knights are a team. Now, the Knights have firepower also, but they seem to be more about their speed. The Jets are a bigger but more sniper team. How do you see the matchup between those two teams? What are the best parts of this matchup for the Jets? And then what are the best parts of the matchup for the Knights?
I think when you look at the Jets, the thing that stands out with their roster is not just how big they are, but also how heavy they play and how deep they are. They have a lot of guys that they can rely on. It's not just one line. It's not just one guy that's popping in all the goals for them. You know, they don't have to always rely on their goaltender to have an excellent, near-perfect game to win a game. And I think what works well for them in this matchup is the fact that all season long, against speedier teams, they've been able to kind of impose their will by taking their speed out of it, by clogging up the neutral zone and playing that heavier style. With the Vegas Golden Knights, on the other hand, like, Their speed is definitely an asset, and I think if they can find a way to alter the way that they go into the zone and be able to work around that heavier style and still maintain their speed into the offensive zone, they're going to be able to create offense without a problem. The problem I see for Vegas is they are still relatively untested in the sense that they kind of took care of the first two opponents in the earlier rounds, the Sharks and the LA Kings. They kind of took them out fairly easily, and they haven't really come up against an opponent where they've had to really dig in and be prepared for a long round. So, and I think that's what we're going to see here.
Yeah, Taylor, I want to go back to something that Patrick said, and it's something that I just don't understand, and maybe you can help me with this. You know, so much has made the Vegas Golden Knights, it's a great story being, you know, a first-year franchise and being able to make it this far. But I think sometimes we lose sight of the fact that Winnipeg lost a team in 1996, and they got their team back. It's not quite an expansion, but, I mean, this is a relatively new franchise for them again.
Sure, it's relatively new, but at the same time, it's not like they got a franchise that was dormant for a while or something like that. You know, they relocated the team back there. So while it's new to Winnipeg, it's not a fresh off the boat team like the Vegas Golden Knights. They were not around last year at all. The players were, but the franchise as a whole and the way that they built their hockey team and their hockey culture wasn't there, and at least Winnipeg had that to fall back on, and it kind of gives them a little bit of a home ice advantage, whereas Vegas had to create all of that from scratch. So while I understand, you know, the idea that, oh yeah, they're still relatively new in Winnipeg, sure, they are, but it's been a little bit since they did get their team back, and, you know, it's not like the Atlanta Thrashers were the worst team in the league. They were one of the ones, but they weren't always the worst. And they did have some appearances in the playoffs, and you still have a few players on the team from that age, even though most of them have been shipped out, and they've really grown their current team from within.
You know, talking with Taylor Baird, SB Nation, covers the NHL. I'll tell you what, the Atlanta Thrashers were a grossly mismanaged team, and it's terrible that the fans in Atlanta have now lost two hockey teams. This one more because of mismanagement than anything, but do you think the Jets were just happy not to have to see the Oilers in the conference finals? They don't have a good history there.
It's hard to tell because I feel like the Oilers are this team where you look at them and every year you go, you have Connor McDavid. How can you not make the playoffs? But their roster is full of kind of some of those mismanaged contracts that you were kind of alluding to with Atlanta. They've given big numbers to Milan Lucic in a lot of terms, and he's not necessarily going to be a top six guy that's going to get you there. He's a complimentary piece and probably a pretty good one in the right role, but, you know, you got to have some guys around Connor McDavid. It's not just him, and Oilers have traded away some of those guys. They watched Taylor Hall enter the playoffs with New Jersey this season, you know, and they've kind of gotten rid of a lot of their first overall picks. They've traded them away and haven't gotten really good returns. And so you can't just have one guy. And so I don't know that it's necessarily like, oh, that you didn't get to meet up with them, because I think that Winnipeg would have crushed them too, to be honest.
Well, I should have done a better job of explaining that for you. You know, when I asked that question, because the old incarnation of the Jets had gotten to the conference finals twice, and they lost to the Oilers 4-0 and 4-0 in both series. That's what I meant by, you know, they're happy they just don't have to see the Oilers. They don't have a good history against the Oilers in this round. But you mentioned Connor McDavid, and well, how does that guy not get to the final? Get to the playoffs? Connor McDavid's kind of experiencing some John Tavares syndrome, which is, wow, the rest of my team's really not that good.
And if I were him, I'd be a little concerned that I signed this really incredibly long deal and maybe I do end up having a Tavares-like career. You know, and I think it's really interesting because we're going to watch what Tavares decides to do this summer, and we're going to see how much he actually values the on-ice success, only being with the Islanders so far in his career and for the first time being able to go out to free agency. And I mean, he's going to get paid no matter where he goes, but it'll be curious to see, because I think that there's something to be said for being a part of the solution to get your team there. But at the same time, if your management team hasn't been giving you the pieces and you're just not sure they're going to in the future, I'm not sure why he'd stick around.
Well, that's part of the problem. As somebody who's a, you know, dyed-in-the-wool Islanders fan, this ownership has constantly turned over. Management has been terrible. They've always worked, you know, the front office is a joke. And, you know, why Garth Snow is still employed as the general manager is also one of the great mysteries of life. But I would not blame John Tavares if he said, you know what, I'm tired of the Mickey Mouse nonsense that goes on here with the Islanders and I want to go somewhere else. Just please don't go to the damn Penguins. That's all I ask. Don't go to the damn Penguins. All right, Taylor, let's flip over to the Eastern Conference. Where you got the Caps and the Lightning. This is, you know, the Caps get, you know, game one. This is, you know, Ovi finally conquers the demon of Pittsburgh. Is that enough to send the Capitals through Tampa Bay?
I don't know. You know, they really got the jump on Tampa, and I think part of that might have been that Tampa finished their series off a little earlier and maybe had a little more time off, just weren't quite in the gamer mentality. Whereas, you know, Washington came off game six and almost immediately turned around and they were flying to Tampa. I don't know that it's enough, though. Tampa is a very good team. They are very deep and they're very dangerous. And as long as Vasilevsky can hold it together and net even with an average night out, they're going to be a pretty tough out for the Capitals. And you also have to be concerned that maybe the elation of finally getting past the Pens is kind of enough in their minds, and not necessarily consciously thinking that, but kind of thinking that, hey, we got past the Pens and now we've made it, when there's still work to do. So there's a little bit of that I think you have to be cognizant of too.
Does Backstrom make it back in time to play a game in the conference finals?
Well, man, I would really like to say yes, because Backstrom, I think, is one of the most underrated guys in the NHL. He's not really talked about a lot. You know, Ovi kind of overshadows him, as he should, because he's a very, very good player. But, you know, Backstrom is kind of the stick that makes that line stir a lot of nights. And so I'm kind of curious to see if he gets back. I'm not sure, though. It depends on his injury. And, of course, in the playoffs, they're pretty tight-lipped. But if he's had his hand wrapped up and has only been doing some offhand stick handling on the ice so far, I'm just not sure he'll be back in time. Maybe if they make it to the final, I'd expect to see him in.
All right, Tyler, who do you expect to advance to the Cup Finals from these two series?
Oh, man. Okay, so I'll give you my heart picks and my head picks. So my heart picks, the ones I really want to see, the matchup I would love, is Winnipeg and Washington. I think that would just be a fantastic series, watching two very good teams duke it out. Heart-wise, man, I don't know. I always have a soft spot for Tampa, being in a non-traditional hockey market, so to speak, and with covering the Dallas Stars, I kind of always have to stick with my Southern Brotherhood. And then I would love to see Vegas. Just, I think there's so many hockey fans would just go ballistic that this startup expansion team made it, and they're going to look at their team and be like, why can't you? They did it. Why can't you?
Oh, that'll make lots of GMs really happy. You know, this expansion draft was different than any other expansion draft because there were teams seeking financial relief and made deals with the Knights. Take this guy, you know, they'll make deals with you. Hey, if you pick up this guy, you know, we'll trade you this player and, you know, take this, you know, can you take this out? Not all these guys were just big salaries and bums. They got some good players. As a result, this is something that had never happened in an expansion draft before, and they were smart enough to be able to take advantage of that market. And, you know, that's one of the things, you know, when you're talking about, you know, the Thrashers, who were a terribly mismanaged organization, moving to Winnipeg, you know, and you think about, okay, well, which team had the greater disadvantage? Is it Vegas with a true expansion team, but because of an economic climate, able to get better players than any other previous expansion team had ever been able to get? Or is it the team that takes the refugee from another city that has a roster that isn't very good, and now you've got to undo it and redo it?
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's really interesting because I think the NHL also looked at it and said, hockey in the desert, you know, we've got to make sure that we're getting off on the right foot here. This wasn't, you know, Atlanta did have a team at one point, so there's kind of some hockey fans there already. But Vegas, they hadn't really had one above an ECHL level that, you know, to speak of. So you're building not just a team, but a culture as well. And I think the NHL really did them a solid by putting in restrictions like having to leave a certain amount of your cap space, you know, and your players available to be picked, and, you know, only being able to protect a certain number of guys at each position and having to protect a certain number of guys. And, you know, of course, they left some of the younger ones and said, hey, we're not going to take your first round pick from last year from you. But, you know, it's really interesting too, because they also have to build a farm team at the same time. And so I think what they've been able to do is parlay a lot of that into deals like you were talking about. You take this guy or don't take this guy off my roster, and I'm going to send you an extra first-round pick in 2022 because they're going to need it, because they're still trying to build their pipeline of talent.
Yeah, they'll have to build and up depth.
It was really interesting, and I'll be curious to see how it goes, you know, that eventually whenever Seattle gets brought into the league, because this 31-team thing we all know isn't going to last too long. When they bring Seattle in, I'm going to be really curious to see if they – set up similar parameters for them to get them off to a relatively good success, or, you know, set them up for the best success in their first seasons as well, with a little bit of a different market in the sense that there's Vancouver right there. They have a pretty strong fan base with the Seattle Thunderbirds, that, you know, at the junior level. And so there's definitely some interest and some, I guess, familiarity with the game already.
Taylor Baird covers the NHL for SB Nation. You can follow her on Twitter at Taylor Baird, B-A-I-R-D. Taylor, appreciate your time today. Thank you so much. We'll catch up soon.
Yes, that was great. Thank you.
All right, Taylor Baird from SB Nation with us on the hotline. You know, 19 years elapsed between the Atlanta Flames leaving for Calgary and the Atlanta Thrashers being brought back into the league. This is Nate and Crate.